is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Happy Healthy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Healthy Tuesday, Francisco.
It's good to see you. Where are we going today?
So today we're going to get into some summer homework. I think we're, you know, midway through July. We've kind of been opened up now for about a month. We're getting our feet underneath us. We're thinking about school and what that's going to look like for everyone from preschool through college. And I'm hearing from a lot of my friends, a lot of parents of young children who have contacted me and sent emails, students, former students that are reaching out. It's been kind of an onslaught, which is why I've stuck to this how do we get back out into the world theme the last couple of weeks. But there's a theme to what people are emailing about, and I'm calling it the post-pandemic panic. And what they're describing that their children are experiencing or they're experiencing or you know, friends are experiencing is some form of anxiety. Even in people who have never had anxiety to a level that they noticed it. You know, we all have some level of anxiety because anxiety is part of that rotation of feelings. It's a way that we know that we're alive. It kicks off that fight, flight, or freeze response in us. So we all have some level of anxiety, but, you know, some people, I will include myself, have anxiety at higher levels. And those higher level energy people who have anxiety to the point where it kind of slows down their life or maybe cripples their life or shuts them down wherever that anxiety hits them in whatever form, from generalized anxiety or specific phobias or like social anxiety or OCD, however it hits us, anxiety can really hamper the quality of our lives. And so people who don't generally recognize themselves as being anxious are starting to now feel this post-pandemic anxiety. We'll probably have in the DSM at some point or some articles that will start coming up about the phenomenon of post-pandemic panic disorder or anxiety disorder that we're universally or collectively experiencing. But I wanted to address it a bit today, to normalize it, to let you know that if you're feeling this way, so are a lot of your friends, neighbors, cohort, friendly community members. And so this general feeling of not being in control, wanting to be back in control, this kind of sense of impending doom, but not really sure what that is. Your heart races a little more. You're not sleeping as well. Maybe your mouth gets dry. Your hands get sweaty. Maybe you feel like you need to run and run and run, like your hair is on fire. Maybe things that used to feel really easy to you, like going to school or going to the store or going out to lunch with friends, now feels like a huge challenge. It's hard to get motivated, hard to get out, or you feel that actual panic, that gripping in your throat. Anxiety, by definition, is choking, the sense of choking. It hits us in our throat and our chest and tightens up. So if you're feeling this way or your kids are feeling this way, let's normalize it. That would be an appropriate response to this extraordinarily strange world we've lived in for the last 16 months. That if you are having these hyperarousal experiences, then that would be an appropriate response. And what's interesting is that you might not have noticed it actually through the heart of the pandemic because you kicked into survival mode or you kicked into thrive mode and you just were doing what you had to do to get through. But now that things are starting to open up, that we've had this month of starting to feel like our lives are more available to us in the forms that we used to know them. Now you might be feeling these feelings. Now these residual experiences or these residual feelings are coming up because we didn't have time to look at them or feel them or acknowledge what was happening in the moment. We were just getting through. But now that we're starting to calm down a bit, the anxiety takes over. because we've hyperstimulated our nervous system and we've hyperstimulated our psyche for so long that it's used to being in that state of awareness or hyper awareness or arousal or being attentive, looking for danger, you know, washing our money and washing our hands and wearing masks and making sure we're 6 feet apart from each other. You know, having to live in that hyper aware state would cause us to start to feel panicked all the time. And so I wanted to focus on, one, the normalizing of it, and two, what it was we can do, what it is we can do to kind of start to cope and move forward. So the normalizing part has to do with this. Oh, what I'm feeling is normal for what I have just experienced. Okay, what are some ways that I can have compassion for myself or calm myself in this moment, to take a few breaths, to notice my body? How do my feet feel as I stand in place or sit in place? How does my breath feel? Am I breathing in my chest or am I filling my belly and pulling that breath all the way in from the ground and really allowing the oxygen to flow through me? When we feel anxious, we tend to just breathe in our chest, really short, shallow breath. And so that can put us in a state of hyperventilation. And when we hyperventilate, we feel dizzy, we feel off balance, we feel anxious. So the first thing you can do is to start noticing the breath. How am I breathing? And then also notice, what can I do in this moment to help me feel calm? Talk to a friend, go for a walk, read a book, ride my bike, take some sort of action to help move those hormones, those releases of adrenaline out of your body so that your whole nervous system can calm down. And then start to think about how you can thank yourself, thank your psyche, thank your nervous system for taking such good care of you. Because anxiety actually is a wonderful defense mechanism. That it's inside of us, it works inside of us to protect us from being eaten by a wildebeest or hit by a car or being in some sort of danger and not being able to deal with it. And so if we looked at anxiety as actually a helping tool, instead of trying to fight it and make it go away or shove it down or feel broken by it or victimized by it, if we could say, you know what? All right, anxiety, I know why you're here, because this response has been protecting me for a long time. What a brilliant psyche I have. What a brilliant nervous system. But you know, I don't need you right now because we're starting to move back in the world. Or I need you to be on alert, but not such high alert. And to have this conversation with your nervous system or your psyche. And to talk to your children about it. Children really respond well to understanding what's going on. So if they're showing signs of social anxiety, not wanting to go to school, or OCD tendencies because we've been telling them to wash their hands and make their beds and don't breathe on people, and you know, for a year and a half, to say, look how well you've done. And your nervous system and your psyche has responded by keeping you safe or helping you to remember to wear your mask. But now it's okay to start moving back in cautiously. And when we feel those anxious feelings, to say, you know, that's okay. I'll just sit with them for right now. And then we'll go back to our lives. And so the other piece of this coming together, coming back into the world, allowing anxiety to move through into a new iteration in our lives, right? Waiting on hold and not always being present, is to take those small steps back out into the world. And one of those small steps you can take is to the new PCPA show that's going to be premiering in Solvang in this next few weeks. And when I was thinking about the show today and wanting to talk to you about anxiety and to normalize it a bit, I remembered that my friend Eric Stein, who is the casting director and has written this new musical called Together, to bring people together out of their homes back to live theater, would be the perfect person to come in and talk about taking those baby steps back into the world and to start socializing again, being a community again, normalizing what it is to feel good together instead of feeling like we always have to be afraid. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And you can be part of the conversation later this hour by giving us a call at 805-781-3875. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. You can write me a message that way. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or podcast our show to share with your friends by visiting wherever you go get podcasts. Look for Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe and the show will be there. And if you leave a review, more people can find us as well. So we're going to take a quick break. Eric is standing by to come on and talk to us about Together and his work at PCBA. We're going to take a quick break. We'll check back in. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
The heart is a bloom, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful
Barrett. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist, Eric Stein.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm great. It's just absolutely wonderful to get to chat with you.
I know. I'm so excited. We kind of are wrapping up or going the full circle because we talked midway through the pandemic about life without theater.
Yes.
And now here we are. We get to talk about coming back to live theater with you.
You know, it's so cool, and I was listening to the beginning of the show, and it's fascinating because a lot of what you're talking about today on your show is what we've been talking about over the last couple of days about the script that we're working on. You know, we're developing this new show together. It's a musical review down at PCPA, and, you know, it's mostly just an evening of music, but we wanted there to be a theme and an ongoing through line that gives us a reason to sing these songs. And we've been talking about how great it is to be back together again and how wonderful everything is. And one of the things that we noticed as we've been working on the show is we haven't taken the time to acknowledge that, yes, it is wonderful, but it's still hard. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's baby steps. Not everybody's in the same place. Mm-hmm. Where some people are ready to just be like, great, everything's back to normal, here we go. Not everybody's in that same place. And I have this wonderful colleague down at PCPA, Emily Trask, who is our dramaturg, and she's working with me earlier today and last night on how do we acknowledge in the play that, of course, we want to talk about how wonderful it is to be back, but how do we acknowledge that not everybody's in the same place?
Exactly.
And that we're going to take, everybody's going to re-enter in a way that's best for them. And so that was so cool to be listening to the beginning of the show and go, oh my gosh, I've been literally writing lines about this all morning. So really cool timing.
Yes, I love synchronicity. And I realize that I get excited to talk to you, but did absolutely no introduction of who you are to everyone else. So let me back up just a couple steps and introduce Eric Stein, who is the casting director at PCPA in Santa Maria, our live repertory theater here on the Central Coast. But also you are, I guess, an author because you have a new book, which we talked about last time we spoke. And then this is not your first play that you've written, but it's new to you, this musical celebration. Would that be correct? And what else would you like to add? Because I want to make sure I'm doing the introduction.
Well, I mean, so kind. I had the great fortune to write a show for the Great American Melodrama a few years ago called Under the Boardwalk, about a clam that falls in love with a seagull.
Yes.
that the melodrama's been so kind to revive a couple of times. And then I wrote a show for that they did up at the Cambria Playhouse called Holiday Dinnertainment. I've been dabbling in writing for a little while, and I enjoy it immensely, and unbelievably grateful to my bosses at PCPA that they asked me to write the show and put it together. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge, however, that I've had a great deal of collaboration in writing this show. Our musical director, Michael Wilkins, has been selecting all of the music and arranging the music, and the music, you know, the music is the point of this whole evening. So he has a huge part in this, and our director, Katie Fuchs-Wachowski, has been an amazing collaborator through this whole process. And, of course, I already mentioned Emily Trask, our literary manager down at PCPA, who's been really helping me with the whole structure of the piece. So I might be the one coming up with the words, but I've had a great deal of guidance and collaboration from my colleagues.
Which is, I think, very indicative of what was missing for the last 16 months for all of us, was the opportunity to take a nugget of something we're interested in and build on it with people that we trust and care about and enjoy being with.
Yeah. I am one of those folks who actually kind of like Zoom. Mm-hmm. I know that that's dangerous to say because some folks have been on Zoom so much that they never want to see it again.
Right.
But I enjoyed the ability to connect with people quickly and all over the place. So the ability to be able to, my dad just turned 89, to be able to talk to my dad every day and see his face. I just think Zoom allowed us to connect during a time when we didn't think connection was going to be possible. And so we were able to continue to really work together even during the pandemic here at PCPA. But of course, nothing compares to actually getting to be in the same room and get up on our feet and figure stuff out right there in the room.
Well, I think that's one of the pieces, Eric, that has surprised people, is that if you had been Zooming, you know, which I had been, and for work as well, that there was a sense that we were seeing each other and were, you know, doing things and collaborating, but that physicality. Because I know when I saw my parents for the first time after a long time, physically being with them and being able to hug them, or going back to work, or even coming into the studio where I hadn't been for 15 months, that physical presence of sitting with the microphone, seeing Francisco and being able to, you know, say hello, and that energy of being in the presence of others, I think we underestimated how important that is, because Zoom was great, but it was still missing that.
Yeah. Yeah, we were kind of giddy all when we were all back in the same room together, and it was awkward in that we were so happy that it was hard to get down to business,
yes,
you know, get down to work, because there was just this enthusiasm of just wanting to have conversations about anything,
yes,
and we could go off on tangents for hours.
So let's talk about together the musical. Should I say musical review? I mean, that's how you.
I think that's the most accurate. We've gone through so many things. We were calling it a musical journey, and then we were calling it a welcome back concert. But honestly, I think it's just your traditional musical review. It's an evening of music that is underneath an umbrella of a theme, with some dialogue in between songs to help us get from song to song.
I love how it was written on the website, to a concert for PCPA audiences to rejoice as a community, to relish being together.
Yeah.
And also it's going to be under the stars.
Out
in Solvang. About that.
The whole process was fascinating because, of course, you know, if you can't put something together like this in just a couple of weeks, you gotta get started early. So we had started talking about that what looked like we might be able to perform again this summer. Obviously, things were really rough back in December and January, but there was still hope that with the vaccines coming out that we would be able to perform during the summer. And we thought the most likely thing would be that we would be able to perform in an outdoor venue, not in our indoor venue. So we started looking at Solvang as being the place that we were going to be able to perform this summer, and really very grateful because what a beautiful place to get to perform.
So true.
And we started talking about the need to do something small, because there was a period of time where if you were going to produce something, you could only produce with people who lived within a 50-mile radius. So we weren't able to bring in actors from the outside, so we needed to work on a piece that we could use just our resident actors, the seven of us, the eight of us with our musical director. And then we started looking for musical reviews that were already written. Because I had worked with the Great American Melodrama and written a lot of their vaudeville reviews over the years, and Michael Wilkinson also comes from the melodrama, and George Walker also comes from the melodrama, we've all written a lot of musical reviews there, I said to the bosses, why don't you let Michael and I write something specifically for our resident artists? So that's something that we were really excited about, was getting to write specifically for these seven people, and really play on the strengths of these seven people. Mm-hmm. And so we've got stuff in the show that is so fun. Like George Walker has so many skills, and one of them is the amount of instruments he plays. So he plays banjo and guitar and the cajon and so many other instruments throughout the show. Emily Trask is a beautiful cello player. She plays the cello in the show. We've got Anna Lee playing the guitar. We've got Yusuf Sievers playing the guitar and the electric bass throughout the show. And then, of course, Michael is on the piano, and he's even got me playing the cajon a little bit. So in the midst of this show that has, you know, I think a really wonderful, exciting, fun message, you also get to see the actors playing instruments live in front of the audience as well. So it was just great to get to create something specifically for my colleagues or my close friends, and to work with Michael on this show. But we had this plan. We had to start early. You know, we've been writing since late January, and lots of COVID protocols have changed since that time. But we needed to write with the idea that there may be some limitations on what we could and couldn't do. Fortunately, over the last few weeks, there aren't too many restrictions anymore. But it was interesting to write knowing that there might be some restrictions.
Right, almost having to restrict yourself in the process, but then have a backup plan.
I'm a big believer that restraint breeds creativity. So you put an obstacle in front of an actor, or you put an obstacle in front of a writer, and we're going to find different creative ways to get around it. And sometimes that obstacle is going to make us even more creative.
I love that. And I can imagine that it does help in some ways, too, because it gives you a jumping off point. Because having too broad of an opportunity would probably cause you to have too many directions to go in. Like, this was a pretty specific task you had in front of you.
Yeah. We got lucky because I had a mentor who, you know, somebody was talking about, you know, why is live theater, why is that important? You know, since we're not getting to do it now, why is it so important? And he said, shared communal experiences are vital to mitigate the isolating effects of a gig economy. Mm. And of course I went, oh, well, there's music in that. But I mean, it doesn't necessarily sound like the theme for a musical, but the value of shared experiences, especially in our community right now.
Yes.
The gig economy is a very isolating economy. Our current divided political state in the country is very isolating. And of course, the pandemic was incredibly isolating. So the how vital shared communal experiences are to mitigate all of that. And I think I'll just tell you, one of the big themes of the show, how we start the show is that I read an article that when people are in a room together sharing an experience, their hearts actually start to beat in the same rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So our hearts, when we're together, our hearts have the ability to overcome chaos. Our hearts have the ability to overcome disagreement. I think that's the first step. If our hearts can do it, then maybe our brains can do it as well.
I love that.
So
I know, and I think there's a lot of ways. We also sync up our breathing when we're together in a group and in a room, and kind of pause and hold our breath at the same times and then exhale. And when you're watching live theater, if you pause at the correct times or cry as a group or laugh as a group, it makes that experience even more alive inside of us. And
go ahead.
No, I'm fine.
I would just say that I really think that we find agreement when we're in a shared communal experience. And finding agreement right now is such an important thing. Finding what we have in common as opposed to what we don't have in common, but to really lean into what we have in common is so important. And I like to joke that it doesn't matter who you voted for. If you're in an audience watching Mamma Mia, everyone's having a good time.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, where you're going. If you're listening to a bunch of people singing, Dancing Queen, everyone's head's just bopping along together. So if we can get people in a room together sharing experience, they're going to find agreement. They're going to find common ground.
Well, and that's why I wanted to talk about the performance or the new musical review for PCPA today, because I want to really encourage people to start addressing these residual feelings of anxiety that their experience or maybe their children are experiencing or their spouse. And the most common is social anxiety. And it's been exacerbated because we've been able to hide out. We've been able to wear masks so we don't have to talk to each other in the grocery store. You know, it's really compounded those elements of social anxiety in such huge ways. And the only real way to combat social anxiety or to move through it is to be social. And I think that really is challenging for people to wrap their head around. They want some sort of pill that will make them less anxious. I guess some people, drink a liter of wine to feel less anxious when they're doing social things. I mean, going out and being social is anxiety provoking for all people because we put ourselves out into the world. But when we allow that social anxiety to overcome us, to take us down, and we stop leaving our house or stop making an effort, the only way to heal is to go out. And I think this is such a perfect baby steps back into being social, because you go to the theater, but you don't necessarily have to talk to everyone around you or anyone around you. You can have this experience kind of quietly together. So you just have to get to the theater, buy those tickets, and then you have this opportunity to interact and breathe and have your heart beat with all these people. And it also helps you to recognize that even though you think this social anxiety is going to kill you, once you get there and get settled in your seat and allow the night to take you away, you do that a few times and you'll recognize that the social anxiety goes away. But it only goes away when we push ourselves through it. If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I am lucky enough to have Eric Stein with me on the air talking about his new production at PCPA called Together. It's going to be in Solvang. If you haven't been to Solvang, what a wonderful place to go down and see a show, starting July 21st, running through August 8th. And Eric, do you have a few minutes to hang out? Because I know it was a short piece, but can I grab you for a few more minutes?
Of course.
Wonderful. All right. Well, then we're going to take a quick break, catch our breath, and come back and continue our conversation with Eric Stein, because I want to know about the mystery three questions, Eric, and I want to find out what Kitty and Andy are doing in the show. So you're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be right back.
Just dance, 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 d
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, and my guest is Eric Stein. Eric, I pulled that song because I know, as a little sneak preview, that is in the show, correct?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I wasn't sure if that was another moment of synchronicity. That's kind of our theme song throughout the whole show. George Walker does an amazing rendition, an acoustic rendition, where he's playing the guitar live. Of course, live. That's what we do. But he's playing the guitar, an acoustic version of that song, "Can't Stop the Feeling," and it's like I said, it's kind of our theme song throughout the whole show. So that's really fun. I was singing along in my head. I learned a pretty sweet cajon riff for that show. So for that song. So. That's pretty great.
So for those who don't recognize it, it's Can't Stop This Feeling, and I first heard it in the Trolls movie. Justin Timberlake performed it, but now I'll get to experience George Walker's rendition. And just a side note about George, because not only does he play a lot of instruments, but he also does bullwhips and hatchets, right, and wears a kilt in his spare time. I mean...
he makes those kilts.
Oh, that's right.
He sews them and makes them. Oh gosh, I could go on and on. George is the true Renaissance man. He can cut your hair, cobble your shoes, but play any instrument that's got strings, and probably other instruments as well. And he's an amazing father, an amazing husband, an incredible artist, incredible actor. But yeah, if I'll tell a quick story. We were doing Beauty and the Beast, and George was playing Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. We were backstage, and Gaston had a chunk of time off stage, and I look over in the dressing room, and he has two cell phones set up in front of him with two how-to videos playing from YouTube at the same time on double speed. Oh, he's watching two how-to videos at the same time on double speed.
Were they different things that he was learning, or were they the same skill?
No, I think they were. He was getting ready to replace the brakes on his Jeep.
Oh my goodness!
So I know that he was learning how to replace brakes on his Jeep. I would imagine with George, it could have been two completely different topics. He's an amazing performer, an amazing human being. And that was so fun about writing for my colleagues and my friends, because I could say the same thing about just about with all of them in this show.
Well, let's talk about Kitty. What is she going to surprise us with? Kitty Bailey.
Well, Kitty,
I missed her badly.
Kitty is singing a couple of songs. She's going to give you some Carole King.
Yes.
Which I don't know if we've gotten to hear Kitty sing like that before. Mm-hmm. And she's rocking it. And then we get to see some of stuff that I personally just love to hear when Kitty is singing kind of in the folk and country realm. And she's doing this beautiful song called "If You Knew My Story," from the musical Bright Star. Mm. It's written by Edie Brickell and Steve Martin. And then she is really, just a presence throughout the show about, just this warm presence that is welcoming us back and going on this journey of getting to be together again.
Mm-hmm. Kitty just evokes the come forward vibe, right? Come be with me. Come, I'm a big hug.
Yeah.
I just want to wrap you in my arms. And then Andy, what's he up to? I saw Andy Philpott talking about his pandemic experience and being ready to get back on the stage.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, so I'm just going to, I hope Andy's okay with this, but he just had his 60th birthday last week.
Wow, congratulations.
He looks like he's younger than all of us.
Yes.
He's said he's in the best shape of his life, and I believe it. He looks amazing, and he's like a mentor to me. I learn so much every time I'm in Andy's presence. He is going to be singing a little Frank Sinatra in the show and a little Stephen Sondheim. So you're going to get some Sondheim from Andy and some Sinatra, and he also has the running through line of the show of how many heartbeats have we actually shared so far throughout the night.
I love that. So let's talk about the essence of the show, Eric, because you mentioned, and again, if anyone wants to kind of get some sneak previews, PCPA has posted some trailers, so I didn't get a real sneak peek behind the scenes. I went to YouTube, but it was fun to see everyone and hear the videos. And you alluded to these three mystery questions that that kind of are formed the show. How much can you give away of that for me?
I'm only going to give away a third of it,
okay,
to you, because I like to let some things be a surprise.
But I love that.
Yeah, I came up with the theme of our hearts beating together, and the idea of community is such an important part of this show. This stories that we share as a community and brand new stories that we've never heard before, and how can we be back in community with each other? How can we expand our community, and how can we venture out and maybe even go into communities that we've never been in before? So community was a big part of the theme of this show, and I wanted to see how we could bring the community's voice into the show. So our good friend Karen Hendricks has been a good friend of mine for years, and she introduced something called Community Speaks to PCPA, that is a style of interview-based theater, a verbatim-based interview style theater. And I talked with Karen, and Karen helped advise me on how to do an interview type situation where I would go out into the community and interview people from all different aspects of our community and get their voices into the show. So that's what I did. I talked to about 120, 150 people, asking them all the same three questions. Some of them I talked to in person, some I talked to on Zoom, some I talked to in a written way, some I talked to on the phone. And we got responses to these questions, and these questions are what carry us through from song to song. The answers to these questions from the community are what carry us from song to song. So the first question, and kind of our theme question for the show, is what makes your heart sing?
Mm.
What makes your heart sing? Because heartbeats are such an important part of this show. So what makes your heart beat? What makes your heart skip a beat? What makes your heart soar? What makes your heart sing?
Mm-hmm.
And we ask that question of everybody. And in fact, we are continuing to ask that question. When people come see the show, they can answer that question in the lobby, and that in their answer might appear in the show that night.
Oh, wonderful. I love the interaction. Everyone feels like they're part of it.
Yeah. And then there are two more questions that we ask of everybody, but I'm going to let those be a surprise. Folks are going to need to come see the show to hear all three questions.
I completely respect that. And can you give a hint of what you might be singing in the show? Where were you going to be taking us?
Yeah, I get to do a little Michael Bublé in the show, so I'm excited about that. I've been a big fan of his forever and ever. And then there are several group songs. So I would say about half of the songs in the show, I think there are 17 songs in the show, I think.
Wow.
And about half of them are group numbers, and the other half are either duets or solos. So I'm in a lot of group numbers, and my solo is a Michael Bublé song.
And so when people come out, and did I have the dates correct, Eric? July 21st through August 8th in Solvang?
I actually think we close on August 7th.
Okay.
So we're closing on Saturday, August 7th.
Okay. So people need to get tickets soon, because I imagine that that's a quick turnaround. People need to get out and get to Solvang. Well, the weather's so beautiful too. So,
love it.
Is anything different? You know, what will be different for people who come down to Solvang to see the show from what they might have experienced in the past? Do you still have the food? Will people be able to bring in food? Is anything different?
A little bit,
okay.
Not much. We were planning for a lot of difference, and fortunately, over the last couple of weeks, the vaccines have been working, and we are not going to make too many concessions. The one thing that will be different is we don't have actual paper tickets or paper programs.
Okay.
So when you get your ticket, it's going to be a virtual ticket, and folks will show it on your smartphone or you print something out, or they'll have you on a list. So you just call the box office or go to our website PCPA.org to get your ticket, but you won't actually have a physical paper ticket in your hand. And the program for this summer, because we weren't there was a period of time where they were saying we weren't allowed to give out actual hard programs, so we've developed a virtual program that people can enjoy on their smartphones or on their devices. So it's basically the same thing, but it's digital. Folks will be able to bring in and have food. The actual concessions being sold at the venue, that's still a little up in the air. Right? We're hoping to, Solving Festival Theater is hoping to get all of that figured out in the next week. But bringing food in, that's still going to be fine.
It's interesting how it's becoming more and more open, and it's starting to feel more and more like a actual PCPA evening in Solvang.
And yeah,
when you're finished with this, I would imagine you've got some other things in the works for the fall that you can share before I let you go.
Yeah, well, right after Together closes, we'll open up an amazing musical called Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, which is a really cool show about, her name just flew out of my head. An amazing singer from France. I can't think of it right now, but Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, it's an autobiographical musical, Billie Holiday, about Billie Holiday.
Okay, there we go. There
it is. Yes, it's about Billie Holiday, and it's being performed by an unbelievable performer named Carol Foreman, who longtime PCPA audience members will remember Carol as Caroline in Caroline or Change.
Yes.
And she was also Rose in our production of Fences. She won many awards for playing Billie Holiday in this show down in Los Angeles, and she's bringing that production up to PCPA, and we're going to have it in Solvang. It's a must-see, so you're going to want to see that as well. And then we're really thinking things are going to be back to normal. We're going to do our new play series, play reading series in September, and we're going to have a wonderful holiday musical ready for you all for the holidays. And I think we're going to be able to announce our season in the next couple of weeks. So we'll have everything back to normal by the holidays.
That's exciting, Eric. That's really exciting.
And, honestly, I really think coming to see Together and seeing Lady Day is going to be a very just normal theatrical experience for a wonderful return to the theater. The only thing that's a little different this summer is the two shows are small. For usually when you're coming to see a Solvang musical during the summer, you're seeing a big musical with a big ensemble. These two are two small musicals this summer. But other than that, I think everything's going to be pretty much what folks are used to, and we're just excited to have people coming back.
Well, and I think it's nice, those baby steps, because the theme of the show is kind of addressing that there are people feeling anxious in ways that might even surprise them about going back and doing things that they had done easily in the past. So I think PCPA is offering a great baby step for people to deal with that social anxiety, to go out into the world but not feel overwhelmed by a giant venue, right? And a lot of people and sounds and action. It's a nice, easy way to come back into our community.
So I agree.
Eric, thank you for coming on the air and sharing your time and also sharing your brilliance with us on the stage. And for people who are interested in hearing more from Eric and the rest of the wonderful cast, the show runs from July 21st to August 8th, and I imagine they're available online at PCPA?
Yeah, PCPA.org, and you can also call 805-922-8313. We'd love to see you.
Thank you, Eric. I will look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Thanks so much.
Take care. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back to continue our conversation.
Inside my bones, it goes electric wavy when I turn it on.
And if you want it inside your soul, just open up your heart, let music take control. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. The room unlocked the way we rock it, so don't stop.
And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I feel like dancing, feeling pretty good today. I just can't tell you how nice it's been to ease back into the studio over the last few weeks. Again, those baby steps. And I want to go back and reiterate a little bit of what I introduced at the beginning of the show, that if you are feeling anxious and uncomfortable, if your kids are starting to show anxiety again in different ways, or maybe they were feeling anxious during the pandemic and they're kind of coming back together, but you're seeing other symptoms that are hanging around, residual symptoms. And the most common seems to be that social anxiety of maybe not wanting to see friends or not wanting to, you know, go to a party or to a gathering or worrying about school. We've spent 16 months telling people to be afraid, to be very afraid, and stay 6 feet apart, and wash hands, and wear the mask. And so for children who have kind of adapted to this, to be told now that it's okay to play with your friends or to go to school or to go to a party can be really anxiety provoking. Well, I wasn't safe before, but now I am. And are you sure? And how do I move forward? And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show as well, this anxiety response is there to protect us. This feeling of caution or wanting to be a little leery of things that are coming that we're not aware of or prepared for, that's our psyche's brilliant way of keeping us safe. And so there is a reason that we have this anxiety response, because it keeps us safe. The problem is when it gets blown up, right? When it takes off and kind of takes over our whole nervous system, our lives, or it prevents us from being able to enjoy the simple pleasures, then it's important to be able to kind of pull back together, to kind of feel like we have some semblance of control, or to let the anxiety know, the anxiety response or our psyche, that I'm okay. You don't have to work overtime to warn me of the dangers of the world, of having my heart beat fast or my hands get sweaty. I don't need that right now. I'm okay. And one of the most simple ways to kind of step into that anxiety response is to pay attention to your breath. How is that breath? If it's slow and deep and fills the belly, pulling up from the floor, that spreads the oxygen around, allows your heart rate to slow down, allows your nervous system to calm and settle. The breath really is key in helping us to feel safe. If you're just breathing in your chest, just lifting your shoulders up and down, then that can cause hyperventilation. And when we hyperventilate, when we breathe shallowly and quickly, we can feel dizzy or off balance or anxious. And so the breath is the first place to start. And in our last few minutes of the show today, I wanted to open up those phone lines and see how you're doing. How are you feeling? What steps have you taken to kind of alleviate some social anxiety? Or do you have concerns about getting back out into the world? 805-781-3875 is our number. 805-781-3875. How have you adjusted to this kind of coming back into the world? And again, I want to normalize these feelings. I've heard from parents of children. I've heard from friends and neighbors. I've talked to people in my own family, and I've sensed it in myself as I've shared on the air, this kind of hesitance, not really sure what I'm feeling. It's not a panic attack. It's not necessarily full-on recognizable anxiety, but it's a sense of feeling cautious or unsure. And then for other people, it's full-on post-pandemic panic. The idea of taking that mask off or feeling exposed or going back and doing things that once were just second nature, whether it's going to school or it's hanging out with friends or it's saying hello to a stranger. I mean, think of the things that we stopped doing, or maybe you never did them, but the things that were our day-to-day that you stopped doing. For me, would be eavesdropping, one of my favorite activities, listening to people's conversation or striking up a conversation, you know, outside or in line, just asking people how they're doing. That was off the table for a long time. And so how do we ease back in without other people feeling uncomfortable? Like, why are you talking to me, stranger? I've spent 16 months successfully not having to talk to you. And how do we find that comfort again? And if you never had a sense of anxiety, generalized anxiety or panic attacks, and you're starting to feel them now, that's okay. Because that would be considered kind of a normal response to a very abnormal situation. The thing about anxiety to remember, aside from the fact that it's part of our nervous system, that response and that anxious response, that fight, flight, or freeze response, the way that it is kind of serves us in actual emergency situations. The other piece about the anxiety response is that it's the most common mental health concern that people report having. That it's so common that at some point we might have to ask ourselves, is it really a disorder or is it a remnant of modern society? Is it just the cost we pay for being in a society that moves so quickly? That anxiety is part of the cost of being a sentient being, a human being with feelings and emotions and responses. That the more closely connected you are to the world around you, the more open you are to feeling and empathizing with others and with creatures and with what's happening in the world, the more open you are to feeling those feelings, the more likely it is that you're also going to feel anxious, that response of feeling unsafe or unsure or concerned or afraid is going to be a common response. So if we were to shift how we looked at anxiety, how then would you react differently to feeling anxious? Would you have more grace for yourself or more compassion? Would you have the feelings inside of you, the heart racing, the dry mouth, and recognize them as part of your humanness? Would you be able to say, oh, that's my body feeling the energy of everything I'm experiencing in the world? Because the other secret about anxiety is that it lives on your reactions. Anxiety gets bigger if we try to fight it. Anxiety gains control of us if we panic in the anxiety. If we say, oh no, I'm feeling anxious. This is going to be bad. I feel my heart racing. Oh no, I don't want to go in public. I don't want to have to talk to this person. Oh no, I'm going to go to this play and I know I'm going to be uncomfortable. The more we feed the story, the more we feed the anxiety and say the anxiety is going to be awful. I don't want this anxiety. Go away, anxiety, go away. The more we talk to it in those go away terms, the more it grows. It feeds on that fear. It starts to take over our whole thought process, and then our breathing gets shallow and we start to not be able to think in our full connected, calm mind, that front lobe of our brain starts to go into reptilian mode and it's just looking around for danger, and it's hard to make good choices when we're just in our fight, flight, or freeze mode. So it might be counterintuitive, but actually, the best way to address anxiety in whatever form it is to succumb, to give in, to allow yourself to be overtaken by the feelings. All right, anxiety, whatever it is that I feel is happening in this moment, whatever danger my psyche thinks is lurking in front of us, let's just let it come. Come over me like a wave. And when you go into the feelings, if you allow the anxiety to just wash over you like a cloud of fear or doom or whatever it is you anticipate it's going to be, you start to see that it has no teeth. It has no power. Anxiety is that feeling of being on the edge of disaster. What makes anxiety so powerful is the anticipation of something horrible happening. But once that fear, that horrible thing we anticipate, if we open the door and say, come get me, large, mysterious monster of fear that I'm trying to hold back with all of my might. Once you open the door and let it come in, you start to realize, oh, it wasn't that monstrous, was it? And you still will have the residual heartbeat feelings and the sweaty palms. They don't go away instantaneously. But that's when we drink a lot of water. We check our breath. we go for a walk, because our body releases a lot of adrenaline and different hormones in a fight or flight state. And so you need to move them through your system by going for a walk, having a good cry, sweating it out, drinking the water, flush out your system of those residual feelings, and then get busy with something else. And while you're busy with those other things, just say, thank you. Thank you, psyche, for looking out for me. Thank you for my rapid fight, flight, or freeze response. I appreciate you being on the ready. Don't need you right now. This is a great way to help your children get back into life and to help yourself get back into life. The only real cure for anxiety is to go towards the things that we fear. That's it. You can take pills that'll help bring down your anxiety level. But the only way you heal the attachment of anxiety on your psyche is to go into the places you're most afraid. And if that has to do with a social situation, you got to go to them. Start small, but you got to go. You have to connect with people that you've been avoiding. You have to go out for lunch with someone. And the more you do that, the less the monster has control. So that's your summer homework, to get back out there in small steps and reengage and be part of the world. Maybe go to the PCPA show, call up a friend, go on a walk, force yourself into uncomfortable situations, because that's how we get back to life. And this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can contact me through email at elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. Podcast our show. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And as always, thank you for being a part of this community and supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.